So you're very busy. I get it. For many years, my standard answer to "How are you doing?" was "I'm super busy." It kind of felt good. I was wearing dark circles under my eyes with proud. It was just a sign of how much I work and how important I am and how much I'm giving to others and to my profession, etc. But you may have found out, just like I did the hard way, that when you're too busy, you also are usually too busy to take care of yourself. And there, the standard answer to any kind of suggestions for self-care is, "I don't have time." Sounds familiar? And this "I don't have time," I would say, is an excuse. Why? Because how many times was, despite all your busyness of your day-to-day job or life, how many times did something unforeseeable happen? Maybe a parent got sick, or a child was really struggling, or maybe there was some crisis at work, and all of a sudden, you were finding time and energy to also add those things to your list. Yes, it was hard, but you did it because it was important to you. But when does it come to a point that you would say that you are important to yourself, that your self-care really matters? Because maybe you're also someone who has promised 1,000 times, "Tomorrow I'm going to eat better," or "I'm going to go to the gym," or "I'm going to actually go home at 6 o'clock and will not stay longer in the office," only to break that promise over and over again to the extent that you don't even believe yourself anymore. And when that's the case, something inside of us also is disconnecting from ourselves because we are no longer a reliable caretaker or steward of our health and well-being. We are pretty much on the track of being completely ignorant and in denial. So why don't we take care of ourselves? Why do we continuously pull out the old excuse of not having enough time? Well, there are 6 reasons that explain why your brain has developed these patterns that avoid any kind of self-care. And you may be surprised to hear what those reasons are, especially reason number 6. So stay tuned for that. In the second part of this podcast, I will explain to you what you can do to break through these 6 reasons that really keep you ultimately trapped. But even before we go to part 2, you can already learn so much about yourself by just understanding what happens inside of you and having a greater awareness. To be honest, that's what I really embrace the most with any challenges, that they are a door, a gateway for us to get into the nitty and gritty of how we function, how we tick, what's going on inside of us, and this way have a chance to not only understand ourselves better, but also get closer to ourselves. So let's get to it. The 6 reasons why you, for some reason, don't find the time to take better care of yourself. First of all, it's simple. You have an identity that you hold on to. This identity of being busy is who you think you are. This is how the world sees you. And you're not just busy running on the hamster wheel. You have added to being busy something like being a helper or caretaker or a reliable friend or an overachiever or someone who is always available to those in need or a great mother or a father. There are all these other subtexts to being busy that are important to you. And you don't want to let go of the identity because it is familiar. It gave you so much approval. It gave you a sense of safety, security. I know where I belong. I know what I need to do to stay here and pay my keep. And it's hard for the brain to say, well, is change really safe? Is being different really safe? Is all of a sudden not looking outside of me and asking, what do I need to do to continue to get this approval? Is it safe to let that go, or at least partially let it go, and all of a sudden focus on myself? And the brain usually says no. You know, when people have identified so much with their work that once they retire, they fall into this abyss of not knowing who they are, that's a little bit the same with I am busy. All of a sudden, not being busy just feels wrong. And you may even find it on vacation where you have a hard time to just relax, chill, read a book, do nothing. You may be the one who always has to be active and has to do something in order, again, to prove your worthiness. I remember that I was specifically trained like this by my parents, who were very busy always and really held on to this identity, that I couldn't go on vacation by myself without having a report card at the end that was about what did you do, what did you see, what did you learn. And so while I was traveling through Italy or France, I already took notes so that I could later on tell my parents what I have done, so that I was just not lazy or doing nothing. So that's the one thing that you pretty much hold on to for dear life, that identity. And that identity doesn't really allow you necessarily to see self-care as a part of it. Now, the second part is what you're saying to yourself to reinforce this identity. And those things are often excuses. I know that sounds harsh, but it's true. You are saying things that basically justify that you can't right now, make an appointment for annual checkup, or you cannot really start eating healthier because you don't have time, or you cannot imagine going to the gym or going home earlier because there's so much to do. So you know those excuses. As soon as you have an idea or even a need, a physical need, an emotional need, maybe you're just totally exhausted and you just would like to take a day off, in your mind, you hear immediately the excuse that it's not possible, that this is not what you're supposed to do. And you know it's an excuse when you justify why you can't. Whether it's time, energy, obligations, other people, it's an excuse when you feel powerless, that you feel, I cannot really, conjure up time out of thin air or let other people down. Or if I now take some time off, I get fired from work. So that sense of I'm not in control of my own health and well-being or of my own destiny. And the third one is basically that it stays or keeps you in that same place. It keeps you in the status quo, and it doesn't allow you to change. And that's when you know, is it really a fact? Because excuses sound enormously real, as this is written in stone, this is 100% true. Or is it just something that your brain has created for you to not venture off in doing something that potentially could be dangerous, which is, again, change. And self-care for busy people is change. So then the third reason why you cannot take better care of yourself because you're too busy is the practical one, which is procrastination. See, busy people are never lazy. They never allow themselves to do nothing. They always have to have a sense of productivity. And for that, procrastination is perfect. Because the procrastination of a busy person is that you do the right things for the wrong reasons. You should actually put your feet up and rest. You should go for 15 minutes and walk outside, move your body, get fresh air. You should maybe just take time to make some appointments because your knees are aching, or since a long time you have a stomach ache and you don't know what's going on. But all of those things you don't do, because again, that would be self-care. Instead, you're cleaning out the garage. Instead, you are helping a friend with maybe the move. Or instead, you're staying longer at work, telling yourself, well, if I'm going to put some extra hours in, maybe I have more time next week, which of course never going to happen. So you procrastinate in ways that give you a dopamine hit. It gives you a sense of, oh, I did something, I was productive. You can look at this beautiful garage, or in my case, it's often the refrigerator, and you can see everything is organized. You did something good, good, good. But in the end, you only postponed that what you should have done, which is put more time and energy into yourself. Now, there is a benefit of procrastination, so which is that you get an instant gratification, this, you know, instant reward system, but then long term or even medium term, you feel pretty lousy because usually guilt or even anxiety kicks in and you wonder if there is something wrong with you, or you wonder if this is something that's sustainable for you, or you just feel guilty that you know you didn't do what you're supposed to do or what you promised yourself to do, which is taking better care of yourself. And that guilt makes you feel so uncomfortable that once again, you don't want to necessarily deal with that subject of self-care, which lowers the threshold for procrastination the next time. It's a vicious cycle that you get through, and it's challenging. It's very challenging. And for a classic example, a client of mine who was very active and an excellent soccer player in his youth and in college. And for some reason, he got so busy with work and his kids and, you know, building his own company then eventually, that he let his physical athleticism completely go. And, you know, basically realizing, I'm overweight, I have high blood pressure, my cholesterol is through the roof, I should be doing something. But there is a constant procrastination happening, usually about, you know, the things that you can do for your business or for the kids, that never got him out of his office chair into the gym. And when we talked about what is so uncomfortable, what is he really avoiding, the interesting thing was that he was avoiding to have to face how far away from who he used to be he had become, how much he would have to put into going to the gym, changing his diet, getting his, you know, his muscles back, that it feels daunting. It feels like a sure way to fail. And because he didn't want to face this failure, he rather didn't want to do anything. People that are too busy to do self-care often are afraid also of doing self-care wrong. They don't know where to start. It feels too much. It feels also that they have really ignored all of this for too long, so it may be too late. Or like one client of mine said, I don't want to fail or be bad in anything. I know I could go and maybe do some Pilates, but maybe I'm really bad and everyone else in the class is better than me, so I want to avoid this feeling, this shame of doing something I'm not immediately good at. And that feeds, again, this procrastination spiral. So it's a protective mechanism. Just like these excuses or holding on to the old identity is all about protection. Now, who is protecting? And that's the reason number four. That's usually a part that is deeper inside of us, a part of the subconscious that has a job, and the job is to make sure that we are safe. So this part of us doesn't want to take risks. It doesn't want to have to face criticism, rejection, abandonment. It just says, well, you're in a good run. You have been giving a lot. You have been receiving a lot of positive feedback. You know where you belong. You have people around you that rely on you. And because they rely on you, they will never leave you. And so, no, you just stay who you are. Stay on that course, and everything's going to be fine. And then there is the other part that says, well, you are in complete denial. You are not a person who is unbreakable. There's definitely also something you need to give to yourself. You can already see the signs, whatever it is, physical signs, emotional signs, maybe also, you know, getting more exhausted or more irritable because it gets too much. And so we have to make a change. You have to put yourself from the bottom of your priority list a little bit higher. And then the other side chimes in and say, no, what are you talking about? This is not your job. You know your job. You have to work for the others. Like a client of mine says that if he cannot do what he's doing for his family, he would rather die than showing any vulnerability or weakness. So that's a strong inner conflict. It's a part that knows better, that knows that you have a right to self-care. And then there is a part that says, no, this is change and change is scary. Who knows what could happen? And so let's not do this. And so that inner tug of war, you may hear in different voices that are talking to you. You're not schizophrenic or anything or split personality. It's just normal that we have different aspects having sometimes a battle with each other. And you may also notice with your actions, you sign up for the health club, but you never go. Or you have ordered, this boxed healthy food, but somehow you still find yourself in the drive-thru of the fast food restaurant. Or you know that, you have accumulated a lot of vacation, but you never take it because you always tell yourself, well, right now the company needs me. So all of those good intentions fizzle out because this one protective side still wins out. And then number five is usually what happens again on a deeper level that most people are not aware of, which are the secondary benefits of not changing. And what I mean with secondary benefit is that there is something inside you that says that if you would change, something bad would happen. That's clear, right? Talked already about, rejection, or people may not like me when I take better care of myself, or that, I will lose my standing or maybe even jeopardize, my career or my financial situation. All those wonderful excuses. That's a secondary benefit of not changing. But there may be another secondary benefit, and that is the benefit of basically avoiding the negative associations that you have with people that take care of themselves. See, if you had a parent who was struggling with health issues and always in bed, or a parent who, was always having fun with their friends and playing cards or going out and never really taking care of you, your association of them taking care of themselves is either weakness or selfishness. And you feel deep inside hurt that you were not better taken care of, that you were not the one who was a priority for them. And so on some level, you told yourself, I will never be like this. Forget it. I will be the opposite. I will give and give and take care of others and be consistent and reliable. And I will avoid self-care because self-care is only for those that were self-centered. Narcissists, people that don't really care about anyone. And that association is so strong inside of you that you have a complete distorted view on self-care. You believe self-care is something that ultimately is hurting others, because that's your experience, rather than self-care is something that is actually helping others because they get a better version of you. The old, if your cup is empty, well, you don't really have anything to give anymore. So the best thing you can do if you want to give, fill that cup. And filling that cup is a form of self-care. But that's not really what you think about in that moment because, again, these associations and the benefit of not having to be like the people that let you down or disappointed you is too strong. And then the sixth reason why you don't really take care of yourself is maybe the most surprising one. And that's the one that brings us also back to the first one, which is the identity. The identity of being busy, being strong, being available, and unbreakable in many ways is the identity that also makes you avoid any form of vulnerability. You are afraid of being vulnerable, not only physically vulnerable, where you just don't want to go to the doctor because you don't want to hear the diagnosis or, get a really bad bill of health, and so it's better put the head in the sand, but it's also being vulnerable emotional, saying that you're tired, expressing that you have needs, showing that you feel trapped, all of those things are vulnerabilities that you don't want to really expose to the world. So you rather make yourself invisible. And that's a pattern, the invisibility pattern, that is a survival pattern. And even though you're very visible by being busy and productive, who you really are, what's underneath that mask or cloak of busyness, is something that no one really sees. No one really sees that you suffer, that you're anxious, that you're maybe sad, that maybe sometimes you even cry by yourself, but then you quickly wipe away those tears and pretend everything is fine. No one really sees that you wonder if you are worthy, lovable enough, good enough, that others would still want to stick around even if you take care of yourself. No one gets to see that more deep, vulnerable, quote-unquote weak side of you because it's too scary to show this to the world. And that is really a very, very strong driver to hold on to this busy identity and avoid anything that could put a crack into this armor. But the truth is, if you are invisible to others, eventually you also become invisible to yourself. And then you get a wake-up call. Now, the person who gets a wake-up call with chest pain and realizes that he has a heart attack. As one of my colleagues said, that denial, especially with men, is the greatest risk factor for heart attacks, even greater than cholesterol or high blood pressure or smoking. Or maybe you get a wake-up call where you all of a sudden realize that people actually do not want to be around you because you become more and more tense or more irritable, or you just don't feel any longer that you can give with joy. There is a sense of bitterness or frustration with it because you're just too exhausted. So these wake-up calls can come in all different kinds of ways. It can be with a burnout and a breakdown. And you want to just avoid those things. You want to realize that we all are made to ultimately give, but also give back to ourselves. Just like breathing, you cannot just exhale. You have to inhale. You cannot just run around and give. You have to take in some food. You cannot just be active. You have to rest. And it's not okay to be busy and be really, really, reliable and productive and good with everything else, but treat yourself very utilitarian, like a 1980s diesel Mercedes that just runs forever. Great machines, but even they can break down. We need more than a car. We need more support and we need more care and more attention than that because we are way more complex than any vehicle that we can sit in. And so therefore, it is not a luxury to take care of yourself. It's a necessity. And knowing now what you're doing, you may actually also realize my relationship to myself is screwed. I actually don't like myself. I don't trust myself because I always make promises and break them. I don't believe I'm worthy of self-care because somehow I see other people as worthy, but I don't give myself the same courtesy. And maybe I don't even know myself. Maybe I've been so comfortable with that role that I completely ignored that there is another side inside of me, a side that is maybe way more calm and maybe moves through life slower and has less ambitions and just wants to enjoy more and wants to be more present and rather always planning ahead and moving from one chore to the next. This sense of I'm doing something over and over again and I'm becoming less and less fulfilled with it is a sign that you may be missing this deeper relationship with yourself. You may be missing to take better care of yourself. And self-care can just be a simple decision to do a small step that honors who you are. So until this next podcast, what I would like you to do is just to notice which pattern is right now showing up for me that makes me stop. Is it the pattern of the identity that I have a hard time letting go of, or the excuses I'm making, or do I procrastinate, or is there, you know, something inside of me that feels like a battle, a conflict where I move forward, but then I get held back? Do I see the secondary benefits of, you know, avoiding to be someone who is no longer liked, or be like someone that I actually were struggling with when I was younger? And then also, of course, is it the vulnerability that I just am too afraid to show to others, that because I associate so much weakness with it? Just be aware of it. Take some notes of it. And then what I would like you to do is just every day make one step towards taking care of yourself. It can be as simple as when you usually would run around and make sure everything is okay, just to sit down for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and just breathe, or read a nice book, or listen to two or three songs, and just let all sink in. You know, just like when you have the snow globes and every little snowflake is around, you know, floating around, you just let them sink down, come down into yourself. Or it could be that usually you're not allowing yourself to have a really delicious fruit because it's too expensive, and you just say, okay, I'm just going to spend the extra money and I'm going to buy this for me today. And or maybe it's about just leaving, you know, work 10 minutes early. Or it could be as simple as saying, sorry, no, I don't have time right now. I may have time tomorrow, but today I can't do what you ask me to do. A simple boundary can be a huge, huge demonstration of self-care, because self-care is ultimately saying, I care for myself. I care about who I am, and I care that I'm happy and that I'm well. So try this. And please write in the comment sections anything that comes to mind about how you may stop yourself from self-care, things that, you know, you have questions about, or any stories that you want to share on how you broke out of this trap of I have no time. Send this video to people that you know are exactly that, what we just talked about, and may really benefit from hearing from this. Like button would be amazing. And even better, to sign up for this channel, because I love what I'm doing and I would love to spread the word of self-empowerment to more and more people.